Welcome to the Holistic Beauty Podcast. We are going to chat all things holistic and integrative beauty and skin health. We are licensed naturopathic doctors practicing in sunny California, and we are changing how skincare is looked at. We want you to understand that skin health is a manifestation of balance from within. And each week, we are bringing you tidbits to complete your skincare routine from the inside out and the outside in. So let's get into it.
So just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is not medical advice and is only meant for educational purposes. None of the information is meant to treat, cure, prevent, or diagnose any conditions or disease that you may have. So please speak to your doctor or licensed healthcare provider before starting anything new.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Holistic Beauty Podcast. So today we have an interview. So it's a pre-recorded interview with Dalia Devkota. So she is the founder and CEO of Editrix, and Editrix is a microbiome-focused luxury brand that uses advanced science to rehabilitate skin. Dalia is a former beauty editor and writer. After many years reporting from the front lines of beauty for titles such as Allure and W Magazine, Dalia stepped away from the industry. She was lured back into the beauty industry as a brand founder when she saw a white space in the market that was not addressing skin's native function. Collaborating with her sister, Dr. Suzanne Devkota, who is a world-renowned authority on the gut microbiome, Dalia began extensive R&D, research and development, on the skin microbiome. After much research, she became thoroughly convinced that this was the most direct and effective pathway to skin health. And from there, Editrix was born. A highly concise and curated line of products using postbiotics from human bacteria to revolutionize skin.
Wow. I'm really excited for today's episode. Like, postbiotics, you actually introduced me to the world of postbiotics, I feel like. Formally introduced me, because I've kind of read or seen some stuff about it on Instagram. There's ads that would pop up and I just kind of ignored it. Like, I'd click and I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then, like, once we did talk about postbiotics before, haven't we?
Yeah, I just forget which episode, honestly.
I know.
we've done too many episodes.
But yeah, and you know what? Editrix, it does feel very luxurious. Mm-hmm. And Dalia was super nice and actually sent us some of her products to try out.
Yeah. And the packaging.
The packaging is wonderful.
Yeah. The products are great too. But yeah, thanks so much to Dalia for sending over those products for us to try. But in this episode, we are going to be talking with Dalia about what postbiotics are, what they really do for the skin. And then we also just wanted to understand, like, how is it like being a skincare brand owner, especially during these times of, like, you know, the pandemic? Like, how, you know? So let's listen to that pre-recorded interview.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dalia.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's such a pleasure.
I'm really excited to talk to you about Editrix. We tried the products. I'm really excited to speak to you about, like, why you chose to make Editrix and what postbiotics are. But I do want to dive into, like, Editrix. So, like, why did you start the company? What have you done in the past leading up to Editrix? And then what makes Editrix special?
Okay, it's a lot to unpack. So my background is not in product development or science necessarily. My background was in editorial. So I was a beauty editor for many years in New York. So I was living my Sex and the City life. You know, I was a beauty editor at W Magazine. I cut my teeth at Allure under Linda Wells, an icon. But, you know, after a while, sort of had my fill of the beauty industry and wanted to step away and try different things, and moved out to the West Coast, and I got into some screenwriting and some documentary filmmaking. But simultaneously, my sister was very entrenched in the microbiome field. She got her PhD at the University of Chicago. She did her postdoc at Harvard. She was doing some very innovative research on the gut microbiome and how it relates to disease and just overall health. So, you know, just in my private life, I'm very entrenched in wellness and holistic beauty. So, you know, even though professionally I stepped away from it, always lived my life in that space. So I would go to conferences with her. Like, we would travel every year to San Sebastian, Spain, where she holds this really unique conference on health and agriculture and restaurants and chefs and just this cross-cultural, you know, culmination of how the microbiome really affects all aspects of life, including agriculture. So it was just over a couple of years, I was very aware of the skin microbiome. I knew we all had one. And then I wanted to know, how could we manipulate the skin microbiome? How could we harness it? You know, how could we really take this information and utilize it in the beauty world? And I saw a huge white space in the market. And so I really asked for her help, and I asked if she would be interested in doing research with me. And she was, yeah, she's always willing to, like, you know, do something fun. It was a side project for her. And we did 2 years of R&D. And that's, we got into the postbiotics. I don't know if you want to get into the nitty gritty of, like, our discoveries yet, but that's really how I really built Editrix around the research that we did over 2 years. And the brand was really built around these discoveries and sort of just getting to the root of skin function.
I love that. So I've been nerding out a lot on postbiotics, and I've been sharing a lot about it with my patients, but I'm really curious to know, how would you describe postbiotics to our listeners?
So, you know, bacteria all produce a byproduct, and that byproduct is called a metabolite or a postbiotic. So a living bacteria is a probiotic, which we're all pretty familiar with, especially with the gut microbiome. And then all that bacteria produces a lot of good stuff called postbiotics. And it's good for the gut. It's good for all the microbiomes of the body, including the skin.
Yeah. And that's what I love about the skin microbiome, because, like, what studies show is that, like, certain skin conditions are, like, linked to changes in the skin microbiome and also changes 100%. In postbiotics. And it's just so cool, you know?
Yeah, I've been nerding out on this for a number of years, and I always say I can't believe that we don't address the microbiome more than we do, because it really is the root of all evil and all good.
I hear you. And it's just so interesting, because, like, I was speaking to a medical doctor about the skin microbiome and postbiotics and postbiotic skincare, actually. And he was saying that people out in the Amazon have really great skin or skin microbiome profiles, but us in, like, cities, we don't. And because of that, we might need postbiotics.
Well, because we lack biodiversity on the skin. So biodiversity is the key to a robust microbiome, which is really translated into resilient skin. Yeah. And as we age, we lose the biodiversity on skin. As, you know, modern life, we're not exposed to nature as much, which is why he probably referred to these Amazonians. And yeah, I think a lot of, you know, antibacterial soaps, overwashing, so much of it contributes to, you know, just lack of diversity on the skin.
So in regards to Editrix, do all of the products contain postbiotics in them, or is it just specific ones?
No, all of them do, except our God Oil Cleanser. That is a straight Ayurvedic oil cleanser. But the research that we did, we harnessed the human bacteria on skin. So we take the beneficial bacteria on human skin, which is S. epidermidis. It's one of our most common and beneficial bacteria. We found a very unique way of fermenting this bacteria in a lab, and we extracted the hundreds of postbiotics that come from this bacteria. And our unique strain of S. epidermidis really produced, to our surprise, a lot of skincare ingredients. So we got, you know, a plethora of amino acids and lactic acids, and it always includes cell surface protein. So all this is like a kitchen sink of goodness. I always say, yes, you could take lactic acid synthetically and put it in a product, but it's almost like taking a vitamin out of a fruit. You're not getting the full chemistry of that, right? There's a lot of chemistry between these ingredients that work together.
Yeah. And I remember I was actually looking into, like, phytocompounds, and basically, like, in the CBD realm, and they actually like to call all of these, like, chemicals that play along with each other, the entourage effect. So
oh,
they
kind
of like an entourage.
Oh, write that down.
I love that name. Isn't it cute?
I will always remember that. That is it. Because I'm always trying to find a way to describe that. That is a perfect, I'm going to use that entourage effect.
And you said you found, like, a white space in the market when you were developing Editrix. So I'm really curious to know, like, there are some skincare companies, very few, that make postbiotics.
Yeah.
So was it challenging at all getting into the skincare realm with postbiotics? Was there, like, some, like, communication barriers, as to, like, how you said what postbiotics were?
Yeah, so I was, you know, we're very new. We just launched in January. So I would say that the language around microbiome, it's still very new to a lot of people. And I think a lot of people are surprised to know that we even have a skin microbiome. So there is a lot of education that goes with, you know, this, but it's a very emerging field in skincare. And I think it's going to be very common knowledge in the next few years. So I think we're really ahead of the curve. I think, you know, a lot of people will say something is microbiome friendly or it's a microbiome product, but I think there's still a lot of room for improvement when people say that, because, you know, there's a lot of things that go into your microbiome, including your acid mantle, which, you know, a lot of people don't talk about. People talk about skin barrier a lot, but one of the biggest components to that skin barrier is your acid mantle. And unless your skin is kept pretty acidic, you don't have a very strong acid mantle, which is in essence the home of the microbiome. So this is why I have a 1 through 4 steps. It's really about preserving the acid mantle through an acidic wash and then building on that through biodiversity. So it really goes, it's an entourage effect, Brian. So it really builds on each other.
It's really cool that you were able to basically build a skincare system.
Yeah.
Would you say it's basically a system that nourishes the foundation for the microbiome on the skin to grow, but you're also giving the skin the nutrients it needs in regards to postbiotics while you're building that skin, the skin microbiome. So that's really cool to me.
Absolutely. I almost say this is like a skin rehab. So it's meant to guide skin back to homeostasis. So really giving skin the room to grow back into itself, because so much of what we do in the name of beauty really damages our skin. You know, a lot of the overwashing, overexfoliation, layer upon layer of products with a lot of like harsh preservatives and chemicals that are unneeded, where your skin can do a lot of this beautifying if we give it the room to sort of just get back to that natural state.
I hear you. And then out of all of those 4 products, I'm really curious to know, like, what's your favorite? You love all of them, I think, right?
I mean, well, I can't live without any of them, because I can't really wash my face with anything other than these, because we keep the pH pretty low. So it's around, the wash is around a 4.3. And I haven't found another thing that could replace that, because even when a lot of companies say they have a pH balanced cleanser, it's still too alkaline for skin. So maybe it's not super, super stripping. It's still, I can feel it. I've gotten so sensitized to it. I still feel the tightness, the stripping, even if it's at like a 6, which is still considered like pretty neutral. So my favorite, I don't know. They're all my babies.
I hear you. So I had the opportunity to try all of them, honestly.
Okay, great, great.
And step 4, the actives in there are so cool. And then the actives in step 3 are really cool too. Step 3 is like the most of the postbiotics, right?
So Suprare, which is 3, and Bacterium Delirium, which is 4, they both have the exact same postbiotics. Step 4, the serum is really building on a lot of anti-aging ingredients. So I've taken out retinol and replaced it with bakuchiol, which is plant-based. I've used alpha-arbutin, which is, you know, helps with pigmentation, but it's all plant-based. It comes from the bearberry plant. So I've taken a lot of anti-aging things that we need, but I've made it as gentle to the skin as possible. We'll put ceramides in there in the form of vitamin F. And one thing we didn't talk about that I do is I've taken the yeast galactomyces, which people may be familiar with because it's used in sake fermentation. And then I've taken Ayurvedic herbs and plants, and we ferment those in our proprietary system. So we've really broken down the plant nutrition with that yeast. And the yeast alone is incredibly anti-aging. They use it so much in Asia for anti-aging purposes. So all of that postbiotics from the yeast also is put into these ingredients, into these products. So we have, it's just a powerhouse of postbiotics coming from bacteria, from yeast, and then layered on with, you know, plant-based anti-agers.
It's a fabulous product. I like that one a lot. And then I also really like the oil cleanser.
Thank you so much. So the premise behind starting with an oil cleanser is that like attracts like. So the idea that you can take makeup, sunscreen, all that, you know, sebum, all that stuff off with a water-based cleanser, it's really making that water-based cleanser have a lot of harsh surfactants or work really hard to remove something that an oil can take off really easy. So that's why we really believe in a double cleanse.
And I'm totally there with you. I personally love a double cleanse as well. You can't beat a good oil cleanser, especially when somebody applies so much like sunscreen or even makeup. You really need to break that up. And I always tell people, wipes don't do it. Wipes do not do it.
Oh my God. I've had some highly educated women working for skincare companies tell me, they're like, I'm breaking out. I have cystic acne. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? And they said, well, I don't use that much, but I'm using wipes. I'm like, what? Why would you use a wipe? If you're camping and you don't have access to water, and then even then I wouldn't do it. But yes, I'm always surprised with the wipes.
And going back to like the challenges of like product development and like formulation and like getting the product out into the market, I'm just like curious to know, like in regards to challenges, like how do you make these fermented things?
Like, yeah, so that was incredibly challenging. So because this was done in a lab at Cedars-Sinai here in LA, which is where my sister is a professor, you know, we have these lab samples, but they're tiny. And so then the next challenge was, okay, we know that we have this amazing postbiotic, this unique fermentation system, but then how are we going to scale this? So, you know, fermentation is not something that you can easily find, you know, PhDs are scaling this on a commercial scale. So we luckily found this lab in New York with a doctor, and he was able to take, so we basically on dry ice, like overnighted our cultures to him, and he was able to scale this for us. And then the next challenge was, okay, well, how do we get it back to Los Angeles where we actually manufacture here in the city? Because these can't go on, you know, unrefrigerated trucks. This was in the heart of the pandemic. You know, we just, there's so much supply chain issues. So even just that, so I had to actually hire a museum truck. They take, you know, couture dresses and they take paintings out of museums. They keep them in refrigerated temperature controlled trucks. They actually moved the Obamas out of the White House. Through friends of friends, I got a number of this guy. I had to call Paris and I had to talk to like Jean-Luc in Paris. And I was like, Jean-Luc, can you take a truck from, you know, your arts district? Can you take it to this lab? And can you pick up these ferments for me and bring them to LA? It cost me an arm and a leg, but he did do it for me. But that's how I kept the integrity of these ingredients. Otherwise, if I had just put them on a FedEx truck or UPS truck, it would have denatured all the proteins. So yes, there's a lot of challenges when you're dealing with something that's never been done before. There's no system in place.
Yeah. And I'm actually really curious to know now, like in regards to like postbiotics, some of them do have to be like refrigerated. So like, do we have to refrigerate your products with Editrix?
Yeah, because there's this preservation system in it that is, it's a very mild preservation system, but it keeps it. That being said, it does not have a very long shelf life. Like it's not one of these products that can be out on the shelf for 2 years. There's a 1 year shelf life and we're pretty adamant about that being it.
I hear you. So in the last 5 minutes, what are some key takeaways you want our listeners to take away with in regards to Editrix, postbiotics, or even just like developing a skincare brand during the pandemic?
Oh my God, in 5 minutes, that's a lot. Pick one thing. Oh my goodness. Skincare development is, listen, there's a lot out there. We know all the celebrities are coming out with skincare lines. We know there's one launching a day. A lot of it is so similar. And I would say if you're on the entrepreneurial side, find something that is truly going to work and don't go after it just to turn a profit. You really have to find something that's going to help people's skin and really do something good. Cause it's part of why I stepped away from the industry. I was like inundated. I was getting packages and packages on my desk every day. And I was just a little disillusioned. So I would say if you're coming at the skincare industry as a brand founder, try to find something that's actually unique in the industry and trying to do something that really works.
I hear you. And thank you so much for your time, Dahlia.
Thank you, guys.
Amazing.
I really appreciate it. It was super fun.
Thank you.
All right, guys. What did you think of today's interview with Dahlia?
It was amazing, wasn't it?
It's so fascinating. And to hear about actually the whole process with getting the special truck to deliver the products, I was like, what?
That's the museum truck.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
She was devoted, you know.
Yeah. But it was super fascinating. And, you know, just hearing her story about why she started the company and then how she developed it, the challenges that she came across. And I mean, yeah, just look at the company now.
Yeah. And it's really cool that they're like really one of the few postbiotic skincare companies mm-hmm. that use human bacteria, you know, like human bacteria postbiotics, which is so cool. And I think it was S. epidermis. I cannot say it, but it was just really cool to hear that just because, you know, like most postbiotics are just like lactobacillus filtrate and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But yeah, that was an amazing interview. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. Make sure to connect with us on social media. Our Instagram handles will be in the podcast description below. Also, our websites will be in the podcast description below. And if you want to learn more about Editrix, the company's website will also be in the podcast description below. And next week, we are going to be talking all about an aesthetic procedure. Actually, it's going to be minimally invasive regenerative skin procedures like microneedling, radiofrequency, platelet-rich plasma, PRFM, and so much more. So that's going to be a fun episode. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on that. We did some nerdy science deep diving, and it was just so fun. But if you did find this podcast helpful or really interesting, make sure to share it with your friends and family. But we're out of here, guys. Thanks so much.
See you next week.